Blog Talk Radio.
Is an audio production of The Speculist, and you'll find us online at speculist.com. That's S-P-E-C-U-L-I-S-T.com, or go straight to the blog at blog.speculist.com. At The Speculist and on Fast Forward Radio, we are all about a convergence of emerging technologies and emerging possibilities, which lie at the heart of this, the greatest period of transformation in human history. Our world is changing in ways that are difficult to predict, sometimes even difficult to imagine. And Fast Forward Radio is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead and that will be here sooner than you think. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I am also doing well, although a co-host might not be the right title for tonight. We're kind of doing a different. We're experimenting with a different format tonight.
How about victim? Maybe that's too harsh.
Contestant. Contestant's the right one.
Victim might be a little too much. we're having some fun, and you know what? I cannot for the life of me remember what we used to call this feature back when it used to be a feature on the show a couple of years ago. Do you remember what we used to call it?
I do not remember what we used to call it. Now, it was just a short segment. We never filled a whole show with this before.
We never did a whole show like this.
We'd have four stories, and one of them was completely made up. And I might ask Phil four stories, and pick out the one that's fake. And you were pretty good at it, Phil, and I really so was I. But every now and then we could fake each other out pretty good. We're going to see if you can fake me out tonight.
Let's see how much I can fake you out tonight. That's right.
I always
thought it was three. Was it four? Did we do four? I thought we called it. Come to think of it, the title that's now emerging in my brain. And God forbid I should actually do a Google search and find out what we used to call this thing, right? But didn't we call it 2-1 or 2-1 or something like that?
That's ringing a faint bell. It's been at least two or three years since we did this.
Well, it was back in the Michael Darling days. So, how long ago was that? We were in our late 20s back then, I think.
I'll go with that.
Both at the same time, strangely enough. That's the weird part. It was a feature. But here's what happened this week. I'm getting ready for this show, and I'd been collecting stuff all week, and I went on a tear, and I just had all these these would all be great things to blog. These would all be great things to talk about on the show. We can do a grab bag show. And then I got to looking at them, and I was thinking, man, this is a good set of headlines right here. I got to do something fun with these headlines. So I thought, okay, here's the concept. We're gonna take our old 2-1 or whatever we called it. One's fake. It's kind of like 3-card Monty, right? Or it's like the shell game, right? It's like there's something going on here with one of these, and you got to pick the right one. But the basic idea behind this feature, we used to use it on guests. We'd spring this one on guests. It was a fun way to kind of break the ice when we brought a guest out. Was let's see if we can actually just tell by listening to whether a news story is real or made up. And the thing is, there is so much remarkable stuff happening in the world today. There are so many amazing news stories breaking every day, and these are all headlines from this week, except for the ones I made up. Technically, they're from this week too. These are all stories from this week, and it is, I think, very difficult to say with any certainty what's really happened and what some guy just made up over lunch today and decided to try to stump his co-blogger with. So it'll be interesting as we jump into that and see how it goes. Now, we were going to have two contestants this evening. I'd also invited PJ Manny to join us, and PJ very graciously declined. And I want to share with you what she had to say, because this is a little unusual. I'd love to, but unfortunately I'm busy. I've got a great excuse, Hannah. Stephen, you and I think both know Hannah from PJ's
yeah.
Christmas cards, right?
Right.
Hannah is debuting a musical composition tonight at a recital. Can't miss my girl's violin cello piece performed by famous musicians and dear friends in Hannah's surrogate family. So we
That's
just
awesome.
Want to say from Fast Forward Radio, break a leg, Hannah. Congratulations. All the best to you. And that is just about the most awesome thing ever. And
yeah.
to PJ, we want to say, well, I guess we know where your priorities are.
Why where they ought to be. And hopefully,
well,
maybe we can share, she'll share a piece of that music and we can use it to sign off on Fast Forward Radio sometime. That'd be nice.
Wouldn't that be great? Here is, I'm putting some information on PJ's daughter's concert in the chat room. And it's just very exciting that, you know, she's composed some music. It's being performed by some top musicians, and we'll have to get her back on the program to tell us all about that at some point. Anyway, so that's why we've got no PJ. So, Stephen, you're gonna have to turn the charm up even an additional notch, okay? I think your dial goes to 11, right? So we're gonna.
Well, you know, I was thinking about Sean Thuris. He's often in the chat room. I'm not looking at chat tonight. That's part of the ground rules, by the way.
That's right.
I can't,
keep you from cheating. No Googling.
Yeah, because they're going to be guessing, too. And I don't need to be cribbing off their notes over there. But at any rate, if Sean's listening tonight, maybe we can get his opinion on the piece after we get to play it sometime. So
that'd be cool, yeah.
Being a professional musician. Okay, all right. So we're going to call this we can't call it 2-in-1 because we got a lot more stories than that probably, but
We're calling it predicting the present, but they are in sets of three, so
we can
do it in sets of three. And I'll tell you what I'll do is I'm going to bring this first one out. Let's see, I've got five of these, so we've got plenty of time. We got plenty of time to do this. I'm gonna bring this first one out, and so folks in the chat room, I want you to all give your guesses as to what the fake story is, and then Stephen will give his. But I'm gonna read these, and then we're gonna talk about something else for a few minutes while the chat room folks have a chance to mull these over, okay, Stephen? And you can mull them as well, even though I'm
going
to be talking to you about other things. So you just got to be pretty multimodal, in addition to charming.
No Googling on my part. Chat room, you do what you like. I'm as unplugged as I can be doing an internet radio show. So
No Googling, right. No chat room, no phone a friend, no thinking too hard.
No lifelines of any sort.
That's right.
All right.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, so our first category is space. Okay, I'm going to read you three headlines. Newly discovered, quote, monster planet rewrites rules for gas giants, comma, rocky worlds. That's number one. Number two, Soviet moon lander discovered water on the moon in 1976. Number three, SpaceX capsule has, quote, new car smell, astronauts say. All right, I'll read those again. All right, three headlines. First one, newly discovered, quote, monster planet rewrites the rules for gas giants, rocky worlds. Soviet moon lander discovered water on the moon in 1976. And SpaceX capsule has, quote, new car smell, astronauts say. All right, so, Stephen, think about those over in the chat room. Be thinking those over. And let's just take a moment to revisit a topic we discussed last week, which I found an article on this. I thought this was really interesting. You know, last week we were talking about fallible versus infallible predictions. And we had Sally in the chat room make the very interesting comment that some of what we were talking about wasn't prediction. We were planning. We were stating intention. And so we got into this discussion about when is it a prediction and when is it a cause. And there's actually a story up on Fizz.org, I'll put this up a little bit later. I'm not putting it up right now for reasons that will become obvious later. But the title of the story was Prediction or Cause? Information Theory May Hold the Key. And just to give a little taste of it, it says, a perplexing philosophical issue in science is the question of anticipation or prediction versus causality, Sean Pethel tells Fizz.org.com. Can you tell the difference between something predicting an event and something actually causing an event? Now, the story goes deep into information theory and talks about systems that are randomly generating information and talks about components of that system that have a predictive quality and those that have a causative quality, and how the two can be related. And it gets very technical, and I recommend everyone read it if they're interested in this topic. But what it comes down to in the end is it's very difficult to tell the difference. That accurately predicting that something will occur and causing something to occur are extremely close to each other. We like to posit a world where a prediction is something that's made in isolation. It's freestanding information that's being offered without any bias and without any impact on anything else. But deep in the world of information theory, they say that's really not the case. There's a strong link between prediction and causality. And I think our position last week was we just pretty much embrace that, right? We're just all about that.
Right, right. And I think that's very much the case. When John Kennedy says we choose to go to the moon, he was both predicting it and he was stating it as the goal of the nation to do it, and it got done. The line between that is very, very fuzzy, and between those two things, very, very fuzzy. So,
I think so too. Yeah, and apparently so does information theory. Okay, so.
Back to our question.
Have you had a few minutes to think it over? I'm going to look in the chat room and see what people have. People think number two is a fake. Sally says, I think number two is a fake, Ken. I agree, Sally, number two. Dave Pook, I think the Soviet lunar discovery might be false. Oh, I'm sorry, am I biasing you, Stephen? What's your take of those three?
For future questions, ask me first. I was going with number two as well. I was going to go with number two as well. Quite frankly, I had not heard any of these stories. I guess I've been a little bit, into other things this week, but I had not heard about the big planet rewriting the rules of, both gas giants and rocky planets. I had not heard that. Nor had I heard that the Dragon capsule has the new car smell, but that sounds very plausible. kind of interesting. I would imagine in that tin can of a space station that anything that has a pleasant smell is welcome.
Doubt is welcome. Yes. Well, and you and I have both read Rocket Man, a book we highly, highly recommend to anyone. And one of the most vivid and memorable scenes in that book is after the splashdown of Apollo 11, when the Navy Frogman arrives on the scene and opens the hatch and immediately leaps away because he just absolutely cannot stomach the stench that's coming out of that capsule.
Gag is the bravest man in the U.S. Navy is the one who opens the hatch. The smell of three guys hanging out in a can that small for days on end, it's just not pleasant. But the Dragon capsule didn't have a soul on board, just a bunch of supplies, and I'm not surprised to have the new car smell.
It brought some fresh air in. Well, now, okay, so I'm going to come back and we'll discuss these at length after I read off the second round, okay? Well, I'll come back and tell you which is right, okay? Does that make sense?
Sounds good.
That's the way we decided we're going to do this, right? If I can find my way back to my questions now. Okay. All right, here's the next set, okay? Then we'll come back and I'll tell you which one was real in the first one. Okay.
All right.
This one is... just amazing new technologies. I lumped these together. They don't exactly have a theme. Face reading software to judge the mood of the masses. Modified Nintendo Wii system provides oil rig management interface. Or mind controlled video games become reality. It was almost the game one, but one of them wasn't game. So let me read those again.
Okay.
Face reading software to judge the mood of the masses. Modified Nintendo Wii system provides oil rig management interface. Mind-controlled video games become reality. Okay, so everybody chew on those three. And now let's go back, and I'm going to tell you what really happened. So let me read headline for you that was an actual headline. Okay. SpaceX capsule has, quote, new car smell, astronauts say. This is from also from fizz.org. SpaceX's Dragon cargo vessel smells like a new car, said astronauts at the International Space Station after opening the hatches Saturday following the spacecraft's landmark mission to the orbiting lab. And I think, Stephen, your points are well taken there. Any air coming in that has not touched any astronauts or astronauts, what's the nice word here, effluvia, is going to smell pretty sweet to these folks. Yeah, I think they must have liked what they were getting a whiff of. Like the smell of a brand new car, remarked U.S. astronaut Don Pettit, who on Friday was the one who reached out with the station's robotic arm and snared the Dragon as it approached the research outpost. Dragon's interior looked good, SpaceX said in a statement. The ship is in good shape, said a NASA commentator on the space agency's television channel. So it's it's a terrific story. We talked a little bit about it last week, just the kind of groundbreaking moment in history that this Dragon capsule represents. Looking forward to it carrying some smelly astronauts up in space here before too long.
Exactly. I suspect it won't have the new car smell when it takes some astronauts. But any rate, the cool thing is tomorrow, I understand, it's going to splash down just off the coast of California sometime tomorrow, and that will complete the mission for this this particular capsule. So that's very cool. Very cool.
Very cool. Congrats to all the folks at SpaceX and congrats to all of us. Okay, I'm going to read the next headline. I hope everyone's ready for this. The headline is, and this is from Technology Review, MIT Technology Review, Soviet moon lander discovered water on the moon in 1976. The last Soviet mission to the moon, Luna 24, returned to Earth with water-rich rocks from beneath the lunar surface, but the West ignored the result. And this is a really amazing story. This is, kind of a forgotten chapter in the exploration of the moon, is that after we quit going, sending manned missions to the moon, the Soviets kept going to the moon. They were sending unmanned probes, similar to the probes that we were sending to Mars around that same time period, started sending around that same time period, although theirs were return vessels. They would land on the moon, scoop some stuff up, and bring that stuff back to Earth. So they were actually in the business of collecting their own moon rocks and collecting their own moon samples. And they brought some rocks back in 1976, looked at them and said, you know what, these rocks have water in them. It should have been a major, major discovery. They published it in a Soviet science journal, which was translated into English. And according to this article in MIT Technology Review, it simply was never cited. It's like this massive discovery that was made and somehow overlooked. I guess our space folks were all interested in Mars and life on Mars, and the moon was kind of passe at the time. And somehow or other, this major discovery, which was rediscovered here recently, probably in the last decade or so, that there appears to be water on the moon.
Right.
The Soviets won that one little bit of the space race that they actually beat us too. So you got to have a little bit of a hats off to the Soviet Union there, that they made a major discovery, and only now, many years later, are they getting credit for having discovered that.
Yeah, very cool. Well, okay, so then that means Phil, that I and most of the chat room were wrong on that. We chose that. Most of us, right, chose that one as the one we didn't buy, right?
That's right. I don't think I saw anybody actually pick the fake one as fake. Let me see if anybody chimed in here after the fact.
That was a very believable fake headline. Some exoplanet rewriting the rules on what we know about that. I mean, because those rules, let's face it, are being rewritten all the time these days.
Well, and that was kind of the thinking. I would give us a very plausible sounding headline, right? So that sounds like something that could happen. That maybe they find this huge rocky planet that's way too big to be a rocky planet, and suddenly the scientists are all scratching their head. But no, that hasn't happened. But you know what? If somebody told you that, you would have believed it, wouldn't you? Because that's the kind of stuff that's going on in the world today. So, in fact, that seemed more likely than that the Soviets had discovered water on the moon. And we know there's water on the moon. We don't know there's such a thing as a big rocky planet that's as big as a gas giant. So that's interesting.
That was well-written BS there, Phil.
Well, thank you. I am in marketing, after all. That is kind of what I do. All right, so let's go back to these. Second batch of three, and see where that puts us.
These are equally plausible to me. Every one of these, I'm probably just going to be guessing in the blind on these because each one of these could be true. Let's go over them again. Read them out again.
Yeah, let me bring that one back up. Here it is. Okay, so. The headlines are, and I don't see any action in the chat room, so come on, people, let's get this going here. Face reading software to judge the mood of the masses, number one. Number two,
right.
Modified Nintendo Wii system provides oil rig management interface. And number three, mind-controlled video games become reality. So, Steven,
okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to just talk through this. The third one, I believe I may have actually read something about the third one, so I'm gonna say that one's a real one, the mind control video game.
All right.
The first one, I know that this is being worked on. Where they can scan faces in a crowd and they can tell what the mood of various people in the crowd are, and I think at some point the idea is to use that as part of a security system. To spot the guy that's a little too nervous in the crowd, what's going on there? So I think that's real. So I'm going to go with the number two being the wrong choice or the fake choice because it sounds very put it this way, it's also very plausible. People are hacking the Wii to do all kinds of interesting things, but. It's like you've laid too much specificity on us there. I think that one might be the fake one.
Okay. I was reading too far down. Sally said, "Okay, you're saying number two is fake, the one about the Nintendo
right.
Wii and the oil rig." Okay.
Right.
Sally
That's
says
what
number
I'm
three
fake.
Is. Okay, Sally says number three is fake, the one about mind-controlled video games. Dave says number two, and Ken says number two. Okay, so there's a. It's interesting. This is twice in a row that everyone's going for number two. It's kind of interesting.
Right.
And then one vote for number three. Now, before I tell you which one was actually right, let's go on and do the next three. Okay. This one is the superpowers set. These are really fun. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Get ready. Avengers inspires real life, quote, Iron Man. And Avengers is in... italics there, apparently referring to the title of the film. Avengers inspires real-life, quote, Iron Man. New adhesive device could let humans walk on walls. And teenager finds solution to 350-year-old math and physics problem. So I'm going to read those three again.
He's obviously a supervillain in training.
he's one lab accident away from being a supervillain, right?
Exactly. All right.
those stories again. Avengers inspires real-life, quote, Iron Man.
Right.
New adhesive device could let humans walk on walls. And teenager finds solution to 350-year-old math and physics problem. Okay, so everybody mull those over. And now we're going to come back and talk about that that second set. Okay.
Okay.
And I believe the consensus was number two. But with
except for Sally wanted to, thought number three sounded fake. I'm telling of the three, probably that one is the most next level kind of tech that we're talking about, mind controlled video games. It's I can understand why she chose that.
Yeah, I mean in principle, right? Whether it's real or not, there's no reason why you couldn't set up an interface to run an oil rig off a Wii.
Right.
I mean, if
right.
I made that one up, that sounds like something someone actually could do. Why they would ever do it, we'll have to explore that here in a moment if that was the fake one. But in principle, somebody could. But when you start saying mind-controlled video games become reality, you're talking about, wow, we've entered this brave new world of technology. We've crossed the chasm, right?
Right.
And, yes, that is exactly the headline from the Wall Street Journal, mind-controlled video games become reality.
Right.
By Timothy Hay. Picture this. You put on a headset and relax your mind. Soon you begin controlling an object with your thoughts. This mind power trick may seem far-fetched, like something from a late-night science fiction movie or the back of an old comic book, but several companies are bringing this technology to life with affordable headsets that determine a person's state of mind. Very interesting story. I had no idea how far this technology has come. I was still of the opinion that for anything to be truly mind-controlled, you would need, like, electrodes kind of, you know, with wires sticking into your head, the kind of stuff that they do or have done in the past with people who are operating prosthetic limbs and that sort of thing, that there is a, you know, kind of a deep into the neurons sort of interface that you can set up, and you can actually have a human brain controlling things external to the brain. But you know, that kind of invasiveness does not fit with the idea of a consumer product like a video game. You know, you would think people aren't going to go to those lengths to play video games, and in fact they don't have to. I guess there's a whole new generation of sensors. You can put a headset on somebody's brain and you can read an awful lot of what's going on there without having to pierce the scalp, without having to get any deeper into that. Actually, it all goes back to this toy from 2009. I remember we talked about this a little bit. It says here, behind much of the technology is San Jose-based NeuroSky Inc., which first made a splash in 2009 when toy maker Uncle Milton Inc. used its headset for the Star Wars Force Trainer toy that let youngsters suspend a ball inside a tube. As the child concentrated, a fan would spin and blow the ping pong ball upward. You remember that? Yeah, I remember we talked about that. This is an extension of that. Okay, so this. This sensor can pick up on the intensity of your thoughts, and through that you can make things happen on the screen. Now I'm going to publish all of these stories on the website after the program, and I would encourage everyone to check this one out. It's a really, really interesting story, and there's a video that is quite interesting with that. But turns out, yeah, that age of the mind-controlled video games is upon us. People are doing it. It's not widespread yet, but it actually has begun. So that one was real. So everyone who said, I'm sorry, I believe Sally who said number three, Sally, no, that one was real. Believe it or not. Okay.
Right.
The next story I have to share. This is just one of my favorite things ever because I love this kind of stuff, as you well know. Teenager reportedly finds solution to 350-year-old math and physics problem.
That's from the next set, Phil.
Oh no, doggone it! Sorry, I've given away one. Now it's really three card Monty, right? Where they pull one, and they say now pick between the two. I've just increased everyone's chances. Excuse me. I had that one in the wrong place. I had all my tabs lined up, and I had that one in the wrong place. So tell me what the choices were once again. I don't want to say the wrong thing here. Now I'm scared. We were talking about. This was mind-controlled video games versus
then we had the Wii on the old rig, and then there was
Wii
the
on the
one
old
thing
rig, and the face reading software to judge the mood of the man.
Face reading software,
okay.
That's right. Okay, what is the next headline of those two?
Of those face three, the next headline is face reading software to judge the mood of the masses. Okay, so
right.
The story here is that. Researchers at MIT at the Media Lab are developing software that can read the feelings behind facial expressions. In some cases, the computers outperform people. The software could lead to empathetic devices and is being used to evaluate and develop better advertisements. But the commercial use are just the low-hanging fruit, says Rana El Kaloubi, a member of the Media Lab's Effective Computing Group. The software is getting so good and so easy to use that it could collate millions of people's reactions to an event as they sit watching it at home, potentially replacing opinion polls, influence elections, and perhaps fueling revolutions. So that is the true story. So the two true ones there were, yes, face reading software is coming into the fore, and it looks like it's going to be doing some not just individual scale things, which is kind of interesting in its own right, this idea of machines that have empathy. Like you sit down on your computer and if it senses you're tense or it senses you're in a bad mood, maybe it starts responding to that in some way. But responding to what's happening with whole crowds of people. and responding to how the public maybe is reacting to something. Kind of cool, kind of scary a little bit, isn't it? I mean, to think that if they're reading us that well, you know, how long before they're playing us? You know what I mean? Is that a thing we have to be concerned about?
Well, you know, Google has run into some issues, like for their Gmail. You know, they basically scan our Gmail to decide what ads to show us. Now, you know, their promise to us is that no human actually sits there and reads your mail, and that information is not kept for any purpose like, to invade your privacy. They just say, well, you know, if you're talking in an email about farming, you know, then maybe you would be interested in purchasing, farming equipment or something. And so they show you an ad for that. And so you can imagine, you know, your computer sees you're sad, and so Google or whoever flashes an ad for, you know, Prozac or something. You know, who knows?
Right. That's
interesting.
Is that invasive? Is it intrusive? There's something, you know,
It will take some adjustment. It will take some adjustment, you know, so, oh, well.
Very interesting. Okay, so that leaves the oil rig Nintendo interface. I made that up, and most of you spotted that as the fake one. Perfectly plausible,
Very plausible. You can hack that thing to do just about all kinds of cool stuff anyway. So, and people do. People have been hacking the Wii since it first came out to do all kinds of crazy things. So, yeah.
It's just that so far no one has that I know of that's been covered in the press decided to run an oil rig off one of those. Okay, so now I'm completely confused. What do we do next? Are we going to get your answers to that third set? Is that right? I don't give.
Oh, okay. So we know that the young genius is
teenager
for real.
Finds solution to 350-year-old math and physics problem. Unless I totally psyched everybody with that one.
I'm going to just put that one aside. Okay, so I'm not going to consider that. And
so we've got
by
two
way,
choices
this is
here.
Yeah, and both are plausible. Okay. You know, walking up walls. You know, humans. Can put this stuff on and walk up walls. It's as far out as that is. That's actually maybe a little bit plausible. And then the other one was real life Iron Man. And, you know, they've been working with exoskeletons for years, Phil, particularly in the last 10 years. That research has really taken off. And so it doesn't surprise me that someone would think, well, why don't we attach some armor to an exoskeleton and protect our soldiers even better? So I'm going to say that that's the real one. And the walking up walls is the fake one.
So once again, we've got a majority in the chat room going for one and one outlier going for another one.
Okay.
In this instance, Stephen, everyone seems to agree that the Iron Man one is fake. So
I'm the outlier.
Yeah, you're the outlier this time. You're occupying the Sally role. Sally was the outlier last time. You know what? That's good. You guys think different. You're not afraid to think different. I like that about you too. We'll come back to, right? This is how we're doing this. I'm going to come back and tell you which one of those is actually true in just a moment after we read the next. Okay, now I've got the rhythm back. Okay, it's just somebody had this idea that we would read them and then come back to them, and I don't know.
Yeah, that was I get the blame more of the credit, just depending on how it works.
You give somebody an MBA and a law degree, and you just never know what's going to happen. All right, here we go. So here's the next batch.
All right.
Okay. It's a brilliant idea. The thing is, it needs a brilliant person to execute. Okay. Here we go. Want to control my breathing here. Okay. New stem cell technique promises abundance of key heart cells. Or.
Okay.
Electronic implants restore, enhance sense of smell. Or. Nanomedicines on their way through the body. So once again, new stem cell technique promises abundance of key heart cells, or electronic implants restore, enhance sense of smell, or nanomedicines on their way through the body. Okay, so you guys chew on those for a few minutes, and let's talk about what was real. Well, first off, since I already gave it away, we do know that a teenager reportedly, I am allowed to read this one now, right? Yes. Reportedly found a solution to a 350-year-old math and physics problem. I love this kind of story. You see more and more of this stuff happening. To me, it's a totally cool story if you say octogenarian reportedly finds solution to 350-year-old math and physics problem, right? I mean, that's a cool story anyway, right? But when you say a teenager did it, that's just – I just love that, okay? Here's the story. In Isaac Newton's Principia Mathematica, published in 1687, the man many consider the most brilliant mathematician of all time used a mathematical formula to describe the path taken by an object when it is thrown through the air from one point to the next, i.e., an arc based on several factors such as the angle it is thrown at, velocity, etc. At the time, Newton explained that to get it completely right, air resistance would need to be taken into account, though he could not figure out himself how to factor that in. Now it appears a 16-year-old immigrant to Germany has done just that, and to top off his work, he's also apparently come up with an equation that describes the motion of an object when it strikes an immobile force, such as a wall, and bounces back. The kid's name is Shreya Ray. He was a modest student just 4 years ago, was living in Calcutta, and has been on an accelerating learning course and is taking his Abitur exams. Don't know what those are, 2 years early. But apparently he's already an advanced science and math student in Germany, kid who was in India just a few years ago, now kind of working his way through college, at kind of a Doogie Howser type character, and, you know, just sits down and solves a 350-year-old problem, a problem that people have been looking at and trying to work out a solution for, and this kid comes up with it.
Here's the guy I feel sorry for, okay? Don't you know that there's some Salieri of the math world that's been – who has spent like 70 years working on this, and this little snot comes along.
That's right. And there's some guy working on a book, right? He's finally going to publish a book that explains this, right?
He's about to publish a book that explains why it will never be solved.
You just do this.
Yeah. No disrespect to the young man who did this. So, anyway, that's awesome.
It's a very, very, very cool story. I love reading stuff like this, and it seems like you see it increasingly where young people are making legitimate contributions to science. I mean, sometimes they invent cool things, but once in a while they discover something that people have been looking for a long time, or that they thought didn't exist. And one of the things that makes this possible is that if you're a kid, you don't necessarily know, you haven't necessarily been told where not to look, right? There are avenues of thought that have not been sealed off yet that a young person is able to go down, and it turns out once in a while that there's some really valuable stuff down those avenues. Okay.
Yeah, so the majority of the time, you have young kids saying stuff that's goopy because it's just, every now and then it works out. That's very cool. I like it. So.
Yeah, I love that story. Okay, so it comes down to who's real, Iron Man or Spider-Man? Here is the headline. New adhesive device could let humans walk on walls. Could humans one day walk on walls like Spider-Man? A palm-sized device invented at Cornell that uses water surface tension as an adhesive bond just might make it possible. The rapid adhesion mechanism could lead to such applications as shoes or gloves that stick and unstick to walls, or post-it-like notes that can bear loads. According to Paul Steen, a professor of chemical and biomolecular engineering who invented the device with Michael Vogel, a former postdoctoral associate. So, interesting, the device is the result of inspiration drawn from a beetle native to Florida, which can adhere to a leaf with a force 100 times its own weight, yet it also instantly unstick itself. So this is very, very Spider-Man-like. And I don't know, have you seen Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol?
Yes, I have. I thought That was pretty awesome. Although he had a problem with all of his technologies in that movie. Everything, nothing worked. You know, that was the gag in that movie in Mission Impossible.
Those gadgets were, you know, they were all bleeding edge, right? I mean, they were all like just enough technology to get you in a lot of trouble there. Now the particular gadget I'm referring to here is great scene where Tom Cruise is forced to hack into a server in the Burj Khalifa, the world's tallest building, which is like 170 stories up, and the only way to get to it is outside. So he has to scale this wall, and the IMF has equipped him with these gloves that provide exactly the capability we're talking about here. It's this rolling motion where it sticks, and then you roll off, and the next one sticks, and you roll off, the next one sticks, and there's this blue light indicating everything is fine. Blue is glue, and he goes, and red, dead. So naturally, we see a glove turn red at one point, and it makes for some really thrilling. I mean, as if that climb wasn't scary enough, right? That's all you need is one of the gloves. One of the gloves going dead on you. That was technology predicted by Mission Impossible, and predicted years before that by Spider-Man. Now let's talk about this. Why, Stephen? Why did you pick the Iron Man story?
Well, again, very 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 plausible, well written again by you, Phil. It sounded like something that would be written. It sounds like a headline that could very well happen. And again, we've had a human exoskeleton. We've seen last week, we were talking about the paraplegic completing a marathon in what amounted to an exoskeleton that was waist down.
Yeah, the reality is some reporter could have written a story about that event and given it the headline that I read. You know, I mean, we're
close. What I would guess from the headline that you made up, Phil, is that someone somewhere has an exoskeleton, made for soldiers to allow them to carry more gear, and that is real technology, and they're really working with that. And, you know, instead of more gear, how about, why don't we just wrap them in iron to keep them from being shot up? That seems pretty obvious, and I think it's going to happen, and that'll be used in combat probably within 5 or 10 years. So, anyway, very plausible, and it's fun to be wrong about that one. Because I think that one will be right soon enough.
Oh, I think so too. Well, so far I think of the fake ones, the fakiest was that planet I made up. I was really pleased to see everybody falling for that one, actually, because that was. You really can't have that big of a rock planet. I mean, so far the laws of physics have been good to us. They've helped. Okay, so let's see what do people make of our next batch. Just a reminder of what the next batch is. New stem cell technique promises abundance of key heart cells. Electronic implants restore enhanced sense of smell. Nanomedicines on their way through the body. Let's see what people had to say about that one. Okay. It's kind of hard because people just say 2 or 3 or 1 or whatever. And it's hard to know which one they're talking about.
Well, maybe I should go ahead and enter my guess. I'm going to go ahead and enter guess. It would be the third one, nanomedicine on the way through the body. Now, again, we've got three. They're all fairly plausible. I know for a fact that they're working on stem cells, one of the easiest things to create with stem cells is hearts, our cardiac cells. It seems like they actually have to work to keep stem cells from becoming cardiac cells, and so I know they're working on that. And you know, whether or not, if you made that headline up, you made up something that's probably pretty darn close to being true. Okay, so
okay.
I'm buying that one. The nose thing sounds very very plausible. An electronic implant in the nose and returning a sense of smell and are enhancing smell. That sounds plausible as well. Nanomedicine, that's very plausible, but I'm going to have to go with that. I guess that's the most next level tech that there is among those three choices. So I will go with number three being the Fable.
Okay. All right. Well, you're not alone this time. There are others who agree with you. I have to give Dave Book the comment of the evening so far, who says the nose implant one smells false. Very nice, Dave.
I like that.
Very, very clever. Yeah. Ken says number three is false. Paul Vasquez also says I don't like the smell one. It smells to me. Okay, so we've got a theme going there with people who doubt number. That's number two, right?
Yeah.
And then on down, let's see. I said three was false. No on the smeller. Rat heart story. That's confirming it. Okay, so we've got votes for – everyone seems to believe one is correct, and then we're kind of a split decision on two and three. Amongst everyone in the group. So we'll come back and we'll look at those. And are we already to the last set? Can that be right?
Well, we got 15 minutes left in the show. So I mean, we're going to have to actually boogie.
We shall. All right. So here are the last three, and then we'll come back and we'll see which was true in that third three. I think this is really fun, and I'm glad that mine have been able to fake a few people out. I was just like, you know, if I get completely skunked, I'm going to feel really bad. So I'm glad I've been able to fake people out, but I'm also really glad that I don't fake everybody out all the time. I feel like this is working pretty well. Okay. So
I just like to get 50% right here. I'm so far I'm not doing all that well. So all right.
Oh,
go ahead.
You're doing fine, Stephen. Don't worry. Okay. Here we go. 3D blood vessels could aid artificial organs. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I should explain about the third set. So the first set was space. The second set was amazing technology capabilities. Third set, superpowers. The fourth set was medical research. And now this third set is actually predicting the future. Okay, these are all headlines describing things that are coming soon. Okay, so some of these were so good I just had to use them, so I made up a fake one too. Okay?
All right.
All right. 3D blood vessels could aid artificial organs. Robotic jellyfish could one day patrol oceans, clean oil spills, and detect pollutants. Linux could soon replace Mac OS on select laptop models. Okay, so those three again. 3D blood vessels could aid artificial organs. Robotic jellyfish could one day patrol oceans, clean oil spills, and detect pollutants. Linux could soon replace Mac OS on select laptop models. Okay, so everybody, ponder those three predictions of the future and tell me which one of those actually has not been predicted here this week. Now let's go back and we'll talk about stem cell techniques, restoring sense of smell, or nanomedicines on their way. As soon as I find that page again. I think I just have too many windows open here. Okay, so let me read you a headline. Ladies and gentlemen, the headline is as follows. New stem cell technique promises abundance of key heart cells, cardiomyocytes. Cardiomyocytes, the workhorse cells that make up the beating heart, can now be made cheaply and abundantly in the laboratory. So, Stephen, you were all over this one.
They've been working on this one. This is actually something that they've been working on at least 3 or 4 years. I would say about the time we started writing the Speculus, I ran across a store, and you know, of course, back then, in order to get cardiac cells, it was a big deal and it was expensive. They're getting cheaper all the time with this stuff. So, who knows? It ought to be a therapy. You know, they ought to get a therapy out of this soon, and
allow people to repair
damaged parts.
A team of Wisconsin scientists describes a way to transform human stem cells, both embryonic and induced pluripotent stem cells. Induced pluripotent means, if I'm not mistaken, any old cell that they've gotten to become pluripotent, right?
Right.
So, skin cells.
You know, they could literally take a skin, you know, some of your skin and use that to make what amounts to embryonic stem cells, that are you, and so then they make the heart out of that. That's awesome, heart tissue.
Exactly. into the critical heart muscle cells by simple manipulation of one key developmental pathway. The technique promises a uniform, inexpensive, and far more efficient alternative to the complex bath or serum of growth factors now used to nudge blank slate stem cells to become specialized heart cells. So this is a this is a breakthrough that promises to make this process much simpler than it has been in the past, and obviously therefore much less expensive and much more accessible. So very exciting news. You can just imagine the treatment possibilities that this will open up, with heart disease being the killer that it remains in this country, and I'm guessing all over the world. The ability to regrow parts of the heart, to regrow heart cells, is got to be a keystone technology, I believe it says here, and I think that's right. It's a major technological breakthrough for cardio medicine. So we look forward to seeing where that one takes us next. Okay, and go ahead. Stephen, you are breaking up just a bit. Can you say again?
Okay, I was just saying that pretty much everybody in the chat room and myself accepted that one as a true one.
Yep. So let's break the tie here, okay?
Okay.
Anyone last minute changes? Oh, I don't want to go back to the chat room. No, you can't. You can't change. Only Stephen can change. Stephen, you happy with your answer, or do you want to?
I'm going to tell you, I'm completely guessing on this one. Both of them are plausible. I mean, an electronic device implanted in the nose to improve your sense of smell. That sounds plausible to me. And nanomedicine is something that's being worked on all the time. So, don't know. I'm just going to go with nanomedicine. I'm just sort of guessing out of the blue on that.
Okay. And, Stephen, you are correct. Out of the blue, nanomedicine's on their way through the body. Advances in pharmaceutical nanotechnology have yielded ever-increasingly sophisticated nanoparticles for medicine delivery. When administered via oral, intravenous, ocular and transcutaneous delivery routes, these nanoparticles can elicit enhanced drug performance. One such recently developed nanoparticle is quaternary ammonium palmitol glycol chitosan, a chitosan-based polymeric micelle, which can be used to encapsulate drugs and enhance their oral absorption and their intravenous activity by up to one order of magnitude. So that was actually the story, that nanomedicine is now being delivered all over the body, and that new techniques for delivering nanomedicines are being used in multiple ways. And I was wondering if that one sounded a little more far-fetched than my made-up one about the sensors in the nose, which to me sounds completely plausible.
It is. You know? And you said I was right. I was wrong, Phil. I thought that the two correct ones were the heart story, the nose story, and I thought the nanomedicine story but that was
you were picking that as the fake one. Oh, okay, that's right.
I picked that one as the fake one. So
everybody else
again,
in the
you
chat
picked
room.
Me out. Yeah, the chat room's right. Stephen's wrong. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Gosh, well, that's okay. You know what? You're a great guy, Stephen. And
I'm just
all right.
Gullible. That's all. I'm just gullible. Okay.
You are my target audience, okay, for marketing copy that I write. Let me tell you, we need lots more people like you in the world. You're buying my stuff, and I like that. Okay, so the final set consisted of 3D blood vessels could aid artificial organs. Robotic jellyfish could one day patrol oceans, clean oil spills, and detect pollutants. Linux could soon replace Mac OS on select laptop models. So, Stephen, what do you make of those three?
Okay, Linux replacing Mac OS. I find that interesting. I know, Google has an experimental laptop called a Chromebook, which, by the way, I've purchased one, and I found it to be not ready for prime time. Not recommending.
Oh, it's not
that.
Working for you, huh?
Not working out. No, it's a Chromebook is a. It's a Linux-based operating system, but you don't really get a full operating system. You're just running Chrome, and you can, you know how with Chrome on your machines, you can add little apps within the Chrome browser on any machine. Well, that's all this is the Chrome browser, and you can have Google Docs and various other things, but it's just not ready. And it does not work well enough for my purposes, so I'm not recommending that. But what you're saying with that story, though, is that Linux would be replacing the Mac OS, and I would guess that would have to mean that it would be replacing Mac OS on Apple machines. I don't buy that. So I'm spotting that one as the fake one. Now, what are the other two ones? Remind
the other
me of the
two. I have to go back. Now you're making me switch windows here. The other two are 3D blood vessels could aid artificial organs and robotic jellyfish one day patrol oceans.
You know, a robotic jellyfish, that sounds very far-fetched, and probably some people in the chat room are wisely going to choose that. That seems a little far-fetched, but I'm still sticking with the Mac, the Linux replacing Mac being the fake one, and saying that, yeah, we're going to have those robotic jellyfish, and what's the other again? I'm sorry.
The other one is the 3D blood vessels. Okay.
3D blood vessels, which I think I actually read about. So, you faked me out on that one. It just sounds so familiar that it's ringing. Okay.
Okay. Well, here's the answers we've gotten back. Everyone is on the same page once again. We're all back together now. Everyone is doubting the running Linux on the Mac story.
Right.
Also, Jab just entered the chat room and said he's late. He's sorry. Can we start over? So let's go back.
It'll be on demand in just a little bit, Jab. So.
Yeah. You cover your ears so you don't hear the answer on this one, Jab, because you want to be on an even playing field. So let me very quickly read you the actual headlines and the actual stories here very quickly. Number one, 3D blood vessels could aid artificial organs. Growing artificial organs might help solve transplantation shortage, but one major hurdle still exists. It's difficult to get blood vessels to grow all the way through a large organ. A gel that allows blood vessels to grow in precise shapes and respond to human cells in a manner similar to natural vessels might help jumpstart that process. And you read the story, it's really cool. You know, the whole idea of kind of printing out organs is cool anyway. But now this is taking it to the next step, and they're actually printing out organs with the correct holes in place for the blood vessels, so that basically the organs contain their own blood vessels in the process of being created. It's like the next major step in getting us to from whole cloth printed out replacement organs. And my other story that was real, this will give away which one was fake. Robotic jellyfish could one day patrol oceans, clean oil spills, and detect pollutants. Congratulations on nobody buying the idea that they would ever run Linux on Macintosh laptop.
You know what's so funny about that? Everybody did not believe that Linux would replace Mac operating system on an Apple computer, which is perfectly plausible. I mean, you know, if Apple decided they wanted to run Linux on their machine, it could happen tomorrow. Whereas the robotic jellyfish, I mean, that's, you know,
that
come on, people, why didn't anybody do that?
Stuff, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Going, yeah, that sounds right. That sounds like something that could really happen. Isn't that amazing? That kind of tells the whole story there. Okay, well, we're just about out of time, so I will put the links to all of these stories up, and you'll be able to above the fold I'll put the list of topics, and below the fold I'll put all the links, so people will be able to visit those. People who just come to the story for the first time will be able to play along with us listening to the program. And what's our music this evening, Stephen?
The music tonight is Tide of Gold by Frank Foos.
Frank Foos and Tide of Gold. Well, thanks for putting that together. Thank you, Stephen, and thanks, chat room, for a really fun show tonight. We'll be back again next week at the regular time with another Fast Forward Radio. Look forward to being with all of you then. And until next time, live to see it. Take it there.
that just the way that it goes? Is that just the way that it goes? I remember thinking yesterday about the time we had, all the time we had that almost drove us mad. If it has to be remembered one way, then I can't say it was bad. It wasn't so bad because we didn't know just what we had. Isn't that just the way that it goes? Isn't that just the way that it goes in life? Isn't that just the way that it goes? Isn't that just the way that it goes? Last night as I lay in bed, bed became the altar from which I raised the dead. Clutched up the ghost like balloons of light, and then I let them go. The feeling came upon me like a tide of gold. Isn't that just the way that it goes? Isn't that just the way that it goes? Isn't that just the way that it goes? Isn't that just the way that it goes?